Thank you very much. Ooh, that thing's live. I don't have to talk very loud at all. All right. Ralph, how you doing, buddy? I see a lot of familiar faces. Makes me feel right at home. Of course, I'm with my brothers, right? Okay? All right. We're all washed in the blood, I hope. If you're not, if you don't know him today, come see me after the message today. I want to talk to you. And I'll try not to cry. But I get emotional when I think about the blood of Jesus Christ, which washed away my sins. The relationship that I have with Jesus Christ is the first and foremost in my life. My relationship with my wife is second only to that. Today, I don't know exactly what's going to come out of my mouth. Now, don't you guys that are in charge, Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Amen? Okay. Well, they invited the local mudslinger. That's what I do. I sling mud all over my studio. This was a gift from God. You know, I don't know what you do for a living. I imagine there's bankers in here. In fact, I know there's one. There's construction, all kinds of stuff. How did that happen? Where did it come from? Do you think it was just an accident that you are what you are? I got news for you. It's not true. You were designed for a purpose. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance. You see, He has a plan for your life. He knew what you were going to be before you did. Sometimes it amazes me how He guided my steps to this point in time. You see, there's no such thing as a coincidence. A good friend of mine, some of you probably know, Chuck McCoskey, likes to say this. He says, there is no such thing as coincidence. A coincidence is a miracle where God chooses to remain anonymous. Okay, amen? He has a plan for your life. When I start working on a pot, people sometimes ask me, did you know you were going to make that? Did you know from the start? I say, yes, I do. Now, I couldn't always say that when I first started. When I first started working with clay, as any beginner will tell you, it's kind of tricky. I imagine God could say the same thing about working with us. Sometimes the clay doesn't cooperate. In Jeremiah chapter 18, we find God talking to the prophet Jeremiah, and He said, go down to the potter's house. I'm paraphrasing. This is the Bible according to Mike. He said, go down to the potter's house, and there I have a message for you, something I want you to learn. I knew that was going to happen. And so Jeremiah went down to the potter's house, and he stood there watching the potter as he worked on the wheel. Think about that. That's 2,500 years ago. They had potter's wheels then. Potters are second only to basket makers, I would hazard to say, as far as craftsmanship goes. And length of having made these things. But anyway, back to Jeremiah. He watched the potter working on the potter's wheel. And as the potter worked, something happened that I hope doesn't happen today. But one version of the Bible, one translation says that the pot was marred in the hands of the potter. I always like to say that means he flubbed up. He had a little problem with the clay. Perhaps he didn't prepare the clay properly. There's all kinds of reasons why clay sometimes seems to have a mind of its own. There's a lesson there. Think about that one for a while. Sometimes we don't always do what God wants us to do. Oh, surely not. Surely not, Lord. I always do what you want me to do. Oh, what's the penalty for lying? A friend of mine in the Christian Motorcyclists Association, when he witnesses to people, they often ask, well, what do I need God for? You know, I'm a good person. I don't do anything wrong. My friend will always ask him, well, now, have you ever told a lie in your life? Yeah, well, that makes you a liar then. Have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you, even the smallest thing? How many in here can say you've never, ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? That makes you a thief, doesn't it? Anybody starting to get a little warm? It's going to get a lot warmer, guaranteed. And he finishes up by saying, you know, all of those things you just admitted to are sins. And the Scripture tells us that the penalty for sin is death, eternal punishment. And then he goes on and shares the plan of salvation with them and tells them the gospel story. Who among us is without sin? I want to meet you. Because I imagine when I meet that person, it's going to be when I cross the threshold of heaven and he wraps me in his arms. The only sinless person ever to walk this earth. And I have a relationship with that man. And that's the reason why I don't have to worry about the fact that I'm a liar and a thief. Yes, I'm even an adulterer. Ever gone to the beach? Were there any women there? Did you look more than once? That's adultery, folks. So we need that relationship with Jesus Christ in order to escape that fate that awaits all sinners. But praise God, Christ Jesus died for me to wash away those sins. And so instead of being stained, I'm white as snow due to the blood of Jesus Christ. I think your devotional today that we were supposed to do says something about they thought they were going to go to heaven. But because they did not have a relationship with Jesus, they were sorely mistaken. You know, there's a lot of people think, well, I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. The media tells us that. We watch movies that tell us that, oh, if you're a good person, you'll go to heaven. But we need to share with those people that there's only one way. And if that way isn't your way, then you need to find out. I tell people that I'm a functional potter. Anybody know the definition of functional? I hope you do. That simply means that everything I make is designed for a purpose. Some potters make things that are just pretty. They're unusual looking and very sculptural, but as far as a function, a use, they don't have any function other than just being pretty or unusual to look at. Everything I make has a purpose. Everything I make is designed to serve in some way. I brought a variety, just a small variety of items up here. I don't know whether you can see them on the table or not, but on the far right there, my far right, your left, is a little oil candle. I have those all over my house in case, like last night, if the power goes out, I just walk around with a lighter and got light in the house. So those are designed to shed light. Next to it, you all recognize that. That's something that most every coffee junkie has had in his hand at one time or another. A mug designed to drink out of. Next to that, I'll bet you wouldn't guess what that is. You'd say, well, it's a bowl. Okay, well, it's a special bowl. That's an apple baker. My wife loves those things. She tells people, you can core an apple and put it in there. Put some red hots and some brown sugar and stuff into the center of the apple. Put it in the microwave for 6 minutes and you have a baked apple. Sounds good, doesn't it? So it's a specialized, but it has a function. So do you. You have a reason for being here. In Rick Warren's book, A Purpose-Driven Life, he tells us what we're designed for, why we're here. And you are here for a purpose. Only you and God know that purpose. I can't begin to know that. Little pitcher. Great for lemonade in the summertime, guys. And I don't know what he designed you for. I don't know why you are here. Throughout my life, I've spent a lot of time searching for my purpose. I always felt kind of cheated that I wasn't very good at sports. You know, guys are supposed to be good at sports. You're supposed to be able to toss the ball and run and catch the ball and all that stuff. Well, I never was real good at that. I liked playing it, but I wasn't very good at it. Never got chosen for a little league team. I tried out, but I never made it. That's how bad I was. You know, you're supposed to let everybody play, right? Not me. Y'all are familiar, a lot of you are familiar with Sandy Patty. Know who Sandy Patty is? Well, her dad was our minister of music where I'm from. I'm originally from Phoenix, Arizona. I grew up with Sandy. And her dad was great at sports. He was also a fantastic singer and choir director. Not me. Oh, he even asked me not to sing in the youth choir once. I tell you. So I kept asking, God, what is it you've designed me for? What am I supposed to do in this world? And it wasn't until many years later when I went to Anderson University, about 50 miles from here, that I found out what I was designed for. I became an art teacher. And I've spent the last 31 years teaching in the Makanaqua school system. 9 years as a middle school teacher. That's purgatory. Good, it's good to hear laughter. I was afraid you guys fell asleep. And then 22 years in the high school. 31 years, not just as a teacher, but doing the Lord's will in my life. Hopefully along the way I've touched some lives. It's kind of hard to share a whole lot with kids these days because we can actually get in trouble for that. Scripture tells us that was going to happen. But I try to do what I can. One young man I can remember in particular will tell you today that part of the reason why he is walking with the Lord is because of the witness. Who was it said that preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words? Do you do that wherever you walk? You know, people can tell you're different if you truly are. And Aaron, this young man, would tell you that because of my witness and another person's witness, he's the detention, in-school suspension supervisor. He's also a minister and a preacher up in Peru. And don't you know he uses that time with those kids to share the gospel? So I know that God has used me throughout the years. Sometimes it doesn't always seem like it, but He has. God should be using you every day. Ooh. Every day? Not just Sunday? Yeah, Sunday's just your day to give Him back what belongs to Him, which is praise and glory. The other 6 days of the week, you should be giving to Him what He requires of you. Remember what I said, Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance. So as you go back to your job today, as you go back to your workplace, remember that God gave you a gift, an indescribable gift, a gift of eternal life. What are you giving Him in return? On the night that He was betrayed, Jesus took a basin and a pitcher. He took off His outer garment and He poured water into the basin. And He began to wash His disciples' feet. Whose feet can you wash today? Who can you minister to? Who can you show the love of Jesus Christ to today? God bless you as you think about that. And thank you so much for listening to this Mudslinger. Amen.